Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. These days are a strange and threatening time for all of us, but no more so than for our senior communities. They're at far greater risk of serious complications for COVID-19, so the need to isolate is imperative. And for every senior with a strong family and social support network, there's others with none. And for every senior that's financially secure, there are others living precariously or depending on a paycheck that may or may not be coming in. And for every senior who's reasonably independent or self-sufficient, there are others that need help and assistance through home nursing, day centers, or meal preparation, who may or may not be receiving that help today. So, for many members of our senior community, Life Senior Services has been a vital link in that assistance network. But, of course, COVID-19 has brought major changes to the way they provide services to seniors and has required outside-of-the-box thinking in order to continue to help seniors during this public health emergency. Well, let's find out how they're helping seniors today. I'm joined by the CEO of Life Senior Services, Eileen Bradshaw, who recently came to life from the Community Food Bank of Eastern Oklahoma. She's our guest today on Studio Tulsa. Eileen Bradshaw, welcome back to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
This is an unprecedented time for Tulsa's senior community. They're especially having to shelter in place due to the special risk of COVID-19. And for every senior who probably has a family support unit to help them out at this time, there's probably one or more who doesn't. What are the special needs of the area's senior population today?
Well, you know, the governor has especially called out seniors as being safer at home. And they were the first population really being asked to not get out and about. So there is a specific set of needs that all seniors have right now. And then some are exacerbated if they happen to be alone or have economic challenges. So we really are trying to address the needs of all seniors. Life Senior Services, typically people think about our adult day center and our senior activity centers, and those are obviously closed. We don't want to be putting anyone at risk. But our senior line and our case management are still open and functioning and really getting record numbers of calls right now.
That was my next question. What sort of questions are they asking?
You know, we're getting calls about all kinds of things. So some of them are very rudimentary, like what grocery stores might deliver, or do I still have to turn the census in? And we are helping folks who don't have a computer fill out their census. We're doing that with them over the telephone. So some of the questions are just kind of, as they come up, people pick up the phone and call Senior Line and we can help. Some of them are more serious. I actually had a call that was routed to my phone, and it was a woman who is living alone, depending on a family member to tend to her kind of physical needs, groceries, medicine, that kind of thing. And she disclosed that she believes that she's being stolen from. And that was heartbreaking, but that's something that really can't wait until after the world reopens to be dealt with. We have people that are calling saying, I'm really anxious, I'm afraid, I don't know what to do. We actually have a behavioral health specialist who's very well trained in dealing with senior-specific needs and anxieties, and she's doing telephone counseling. I haven't seen the numbers for this week, but last week, a third of the folks that she was counseling with were first-time callers. So we know that as this extends, those kind of needs are going to continue to escalate.
Now, has your mission changed significantly since this outbreak? I would assume that Life Senior Services is doing a lot of things to help the senior community that most of the time you could find other ways to help those folks.
You know, our tagline is promoting and preserving independence for seniors. So I think it's a pretty broad tagline. So I think everything we're doing now is still very much in line with that. We're just having to do it a little more creatively. Our case managers are still actually taking on new participants. So some of the phone calls we're getting from Senior Line, it's apparent in those conversations that this person may be alone, they may have children out of state, they may have children who have health issues. You know, we had one woman call who has one child who has a compromised immune system, so she can't really assist her mother. She calls her and she's supportive, but she can't do those kind of tangible things. And so we've partnered her with a case manager that can help her navigate and find tangible assistance. We're starting something new this coming week. We're going to try it. We'll see what happens. We're going to call it Market Mondays. So one of the things that's really come up is that we get calls from some people on Senior Line that say they don't have food and they don't have the resources to buy food. And we can connect them with, you know, charitable resources to help them. But we're also getting calls from people who are saying, I'm supposed to stay home, but I'm running out of food and I don't want to go to the grocery store and I don't have a computer or I don't know how to use this tablet that my son gave me last Christmas. So we're going to start Market Mondays where I think it's going to be from 1 to 4. People can call our senior line and we'll have somebody call them right back and we can walk through a site with them. So we'll have the computer. They can tell us what they want us to order. They can pay with a card and then we'll be delivered to their house by the store. So for folks who are suddenly faced with a world where online is even more important and maybe they haven't been really keeping up to speed with that, we're trying to provide some solutions.
How common is that today? I think there's a thought that this was an issue for seniors maybe 10 to 15 years ago of not being a computer literate and being able to negotiate the online world. Is that still a big issue for our senior population?
It is. There's obviously lots of seniors who are very savvy with computers and I'm sure could teach all of us the ropes. So it isn't majority, but it's still very common for folks who, like I said, some of them may have been given a computer or a tablet, really haven't messed with it too much. And there's a certain group of people that are retired now that have maybe been retired for 15 years or so, that they use computers in their work a little bit toward the end of their career, but they didn't feel the need to dive in when they got home. And they really do need help navigating that.
I would also think that maybe seniors in their 80s, we're talking, you know, our oldest senior population probably have never, you know, they probably never used a computer. Didn't want to ever get into it.
Absolutely. And we do have a lot of folks in their 80s that are living vibrant lives at home, independent, that, yes, have eschewed computers and now suddenly it's kind of important. So we're going to try this. We'll see how it works. I think the hardest thing to convey is that just because you order it doesn't mean it gets delivered. So we're going to have to start every conversation with that. But all of my friends are wrestling with that same thing.
That's right. We're all working with that. It's like, I ordered this. It wasn't there. Yeah, no, exactly.
We're also going to try something called Tech Tuesdays for the people who we kind of reference that might have gotten a tablet or have a laptop but really don't use it very much. We're putting so much stuff on live social media. There's so many fabulous things going on for people during the shelter-at-home period virtually. So museums that are offering tours for free, the Metropolitan Opera, a lot of these things I'm actually hearing about on your station, and then we come back and repost it on our Facebook. But if you're not computer savvy and you're not, you know, able to access it, it's not very helpful. So we're going to get Market Mondays going, and then we're going to go with Tech Tuesdays, where we'll have some online tech support if you want to, you know, figure out how to FaceTime with your grandchild or how to download Zoom for a virtual happy hour, whatever you want to do. We'll have some support for that starting, I think, next week on Tuesdays.
So it really sounds like you're transforming your agency on the fly to deal with a whole range of issues that were perhaps back burner issues for seniors prior to this crisis.
You know, for me, the most heartbreaking image in all of this is a senior who's isolating for safety, but who feels isolated and who is afraid, like many people are, and who doesn't have the resources they need. And I really appreciate your having us on the show because we're available. We're a phone call away. And we will work with people to help solve whatever issues they're having. It's just getting that word out. So if people, you know, if you're a senior yourself and you're hearing this, or you have a neighbor or a parent or a coworker, somebody that you know is alone during this time, it's really important that people know that Life Senior Services is still open and ready to help.
Along with that isolation, there's also the tendency to focus on the news of the day, I think, for seniors, that you're watching your trusted news source, be it Fox News or CNN or MSNBC or, you know, a variety of news stations all day long. That has got to take an emotional toll on this population because you just can't do that. It just becomes overwhelming after a while to watch the news constantly. And this population tends to watch more news than other populations.
Absolutely. And if there's one recommendation that I could make, we all feel the need to be informed, and I think that's healthy. But, you know, 20 minutes in the morning, 20 minutes in the evening, not right before you go to bed, is probably enough TV watching. You know, shameless plug, you can turn on NPR and get non-salacious facts, and they're presented very succinctly, non-hysterically, and I think that's really important because right now you don't need anybody helping you become hysterical. there's a lot of data out there that can be overwhelming, and just having it presented in a very factual way instead of a lot of doom and gloom. There's enough, you can make your own inferences, but I do think it's important for all of us. Seniors, as you pointed out, do watch a lot of news, but all of us probably need to be informed. It doesn't change that much throughout the day. We don't need to watch, you know, the ticker of cases go up one by one. And at the end of this, it's my hope that we emerge healthy and safe. And you want to have your mental health intact at that point when you come back out in the world. And so diversifying, whether it's TV watching, reading, taking walks, whatever it is that you need to do, it is important that we adhere to the social distancing. And I think the mayor is doing a great job on leading us on that. But you have to diversify your day, or you really are going to come out of this not the same person you were when you went in. You just can't sit in front of the TV and watch bad news all day.
My guest today is Eileen Bradshaw, the CEO of Life Senior Services. Life Senior Services is helping seniors during this unprecedented time with a range of services they normally provide. They're checking up on some of the services and the people who are utilizing their services that they really can't provide at this time, like the adult day health, and taking on a new initiatives like Market Monday, where you're helping seniors do their online shopping if they don't have access to a computer or are not tech savvy, to help them fill out a shopping list, Tech Tuesday to learn those devices if they have them and have been gathering dust in a corner. So this is really a interesting time for Life Senior Services, and she's my guest today on Studio Tulsa. Let's talk about some of the services you can't provide now. How are you checking in with families that have used like your adult day services and things like that?
So for our families, we have three adult day health services centers, and those have all been closed since March 17th. And that was the most heart-wrenching call that we've had to make because it's such a vital service. And a lot of folks use that because they are off at work and some need it for respite. So we're calling, we're checking in with those folks, and we're checking in with their caregivers. It's really important that the folks that take care of these people every day connect with those caregivers because they have an understanding of their daily routine that their own family might not have. So we're doing calls, we're talking to the participants themselves. Some of them have some dementia, but they recognize those people. They're happy to get the call. So we're staying in really steady communication with those folks. We have offered services if we find out that there's food insecurity or other gaps that are being created by the lack of adult day health. We're working with them to fill those as well.
You mentioned food insecurity, and of course you came from the food bank. Has that been helpful to you in this new role at Life Senior Services? You just started here recently, and as a part of the food bank, you were working with all these partner agencies. You know, if you run into a senior that is food insecure, can you get them the services pretty easily today?
Yes, and I think the food bank during this particular situation is stepping up remarkably. So they're assisting the whole community. To your point, the fact that I'd had the opportunity to partner with some of the organizations in town has made this role easier during this time because I am familiar with so many awesome organizations and people in the community that are doing a variety of different things. So it's easy to plug people in. But the food security aspect is something that is very concerning, probably because I did come from the food bank. But as this goes on longer and as unemployment escalates, even for seniors that might be living with a family member, if they, you know, were in a restaurant position or a variety of positions have been eliminated in the last 3 weeks, food insecurity for the whole family becomes an issue. And if seniors were depending on someone who is working who suddenly isn't, then we know those resources are becoming more and more scarce. So trying to make sure we're screening for that and talking to people about the need for food is really important. You know, Life operates 17 apartment complexes called right. Vintage housing. And those are for seniors of low to moderate income. And so there's about 650 seniors that we're serving in that way right now. And we're starting to get more calls on Senior Line from people saying they're food insecure. Some of our vintage complexes, we're having people raise their hand and say, you know, I'm running out of food, not sure how I'm going to get more. So we're trying to build up pantries in each of those locations so that people can access food without putting themselves at risk and getting out.
I did want to spend some time on the vintage housing because, as you well know, as a senior housing unit, you know, if COVID-19 enters that facility at some point, all of those residents become at risk. When you see stories of like Greer County way out in southwest Oklahoma that, you know, the county only has 5,000 residents and 1 in 100 have tested positive for COVID-19. And a lot of that is because of nursing facilities or elder care facilities that have gotten the virus in there. What steps are you taking to protect those folks in your vintage housing units?
So vintage housing, the one thing, they're independent housing units. And so
right.
they're not congregate dining. They each have their own kitchen,
right.
their own bathroom.
Right. It's like a typical apartment.
It's a typical apartment. And those are people's residents. And so our authority is a little bit limited on what happens within those apartments. But, I mean, within their actual apartments. But we, very early on, started limiting any outside visitors. So, you know, we have no vendors. We don't have folks that would come in and typically do maintenance or repairs. A lot of third-party groups would come in and do activities in the, like, living areas with the residents. That's lovely, but that's not appropriate right now. So those buildings have been restricted since about March 16th, I think, was the date. So we started that pretty early on. Five of those sites are adult nutrition sites, and we changed that model in conjunction with those senior service providers. Those went to non-congregate dining, just grab and go. And we, of course, have additional protocol. The health and well-being of the residents there are really critical. So, you know, cleaning protocols on common areas like the elevator and the laundry room, things where people will be going, even if they're sheltering in place. If you live on the second floor, you're going to come down at some point. So making sure that all of those areas are cleaned consistently and repeatedly. And we have managers that keep in touch with residents, making sure that, you know, they have a sense of what's going on. But it's a scary time in that way. We've taken every precaution. You know, we listen very closely to the Tulsa Health Department and the CDC, and we've taken every recommended precaution because we care about these people, and they are all seniors. So we have protocols. Someone is diagnosed. It is their home, so that compounds things.
Right.
But I think we've taken a lot of precautions to keep people as safe as we can.
My guest today is Eileen Bradshaw, the CEO of Life Senior Services. Life Senior Services is helping a lot of seniors at this time, a lot of probably new seniors calling your services line, asking for information, asking for help. Has the caseload gone up significantly during this time?
You know, it tends to go up and down, but yeah, we were up around, the last data I saw, we were up around 30%.
Wow.
Which I think is, you know, pretty significant. And a lot are first-time callers. We had already added, like in 1 week, we added like 20 people to case managers, so which is a very atypical addition in a one-week period.
Well, I ask you a question about those that are serving in as a support network for a senior. Maybe it's a family member, a mother, a father, a grandmother, a grandfather. What are some of the things we need to keep in mind as we're helping them? Because I think, you know, we think of we have a role that we're doing outside, away from the senior, as well as a role we're doing to help the senior. And I'm just thinking about, you know, every time you go to that senior's residence, whether it's delivering food, that senior is then come in contact with every person that you've had contact with. What are some of the things to keep in mind?
I saw a great cartoon that illustrated just that. It was like a son handing his mother food, and behind him was like 40 assorted people from, you know, Subway associates to lawn people. I mean, you bring everybody with you. You're exactly right. One of the big things that I'm hoping that people really adopt that has been recommended are masks. And there's so much conversation about that. If you're going to go see a senior and you're doing something helpful for them, like bringing food, please wear a mask. A lot of people that I've had conversation with say, I'm not going to wear a mask. I'm fine. I have a good immune system. I've even had people say, I'm not going to wear a mask. If it gets me, it gets me, right? I mean, we've got
right.
A lot of bravado. That's fine, but the mask actually is to protect other people, not you. The mask actually keeps, if you are possibly infected, and there's so much data that a lot of folks are asymptomatic and are moving through the community infected and not knowing it, the mask protects the people that you come in contact with. So it's really important if you're going to go deliver services to a senior, even if you think you're bulletproof, they're not. And so the mask isn't 100% guarantee, but it does reduce the spread. I mean, there is some evidence that it reduces the spread. And so it's a really valid precaution to take. I think the other thing is giving seniors permission to miss things. No grandparent wants to miss anything their grandchild does. They certainly don't want to miss Easter dinner with their family. Depending on your family size, depending on the arrangement, they may not need to. But I think a lot of times grandparents don't want to disappoint, and so they will put themselves at risk in order to be supportive of the family. So I think it's also important as we move through this to remind seniors that this is temporary and that we can get together, if not over FaceTime or Skype, we can get together on the phone. We'll all be together physically soon, but maybe it's not the best time to attend the third birthday party. And that's hard for people. But I think if we give them permission and affirmation, not an edict, but just, you know, hey, this year we're not going to do Janie's third birthday party. We're just going to do something small on the day. And then we'll have something again when the world reopens and you can be there. We'll do a cake all over again or however. Hand washing, I mean, it's sometimes I feel like it's such a simple thing. But, you know, if you're going to be in contact with somebody that you think is, we should be doing it a million times a day anyway.
We should.
COVID or not. I think we've all learned that. But if you're going to go take, you know, something to a senior or go visit them to emotionally support them, wash your hands before you get in there. Wash your hands when you leave. I have a little bag of Clorox wipes. I don't know if I'll be able to obtain anymore, but right now, you know, if I'm going in someplace, I wipe down the doorknobs. Like, I have a senior neighbor, and I just, you know, wipe down her doorknob when I leave and when I enter, and just try to leave it as if you weren't there physically.
Well, one last question. I know that Life Senior Services helps a lot of seniors during this particular time of year with tax assistance. Now, the tax deadline has gone back to July. I assume you'll be doing that later in the spring and early summer. But also, you're helping, I guess, seniors make sure that they get through the stimulus package, they get extra help.
Yes, that's so important. And we were so relieved when they made the change on the rule that if seniors had not filed taxes, that they would still receive the stimulus checks in a quick manner. So those stimulus checks are going to be really important to a lot of seniors. And if you are unsure about how the process is going to work, or you need to navigate that in any way, you can call our senior line. It's 918-664-9000. And we will talk to you about it, and we'll be able to tell you how we think it's going to come to you based on the way you have filed taxes or have not in the last couple of years. And if you need to notify someone of a change, we can help you do that.
Now, I often think of IRS and Social Security being completely different systems, if you're receiving Social Security checks but not necessarily filing taxes, they'll have your information still on file, and the idea is that you'll be able to get that stimulus check the same way you would get your Social Security check?
Yes, that was the amendment, that if you get a direct deposit, that's how the stimulus check will come. If you get a paper check, that's how the stimulus will come. So that's a real assist to seniors who don't file because of the way that their income comes in.
All right. Well, is there any other last information you would like to share with either the senior population or the people that are serving the senior population here in the community?
I have a heart for seniors. I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't. But right now, they're just sort of special circumstances, and we all need to be checking in with the seniors that we know, and even if we don't know them that well. If you've got a senior neighbor that you wave to but maybe haven't made meaningful contact with in the last 10 years, now's the time to leave a note on the porch and say, here's my number, call me if you need something. Our senior line is open and ready to help. So if you know of a senior that needs help, if your neighbor needs help and you're not up to doing it right now, you can call senior line. We'll figure out a way together. I've been reading these things. I read some quote from someone who said, well, I think this generation would gladly sacrifice themselves for younger generations. That just went all over me. That is not a necessary call that anybody would ever have to make. We're all in this together, and we can step up to secure these seniors and ride this out. So I just encourage anybody that needs help doing that to give us a call.
All right. Eileen Bradshaw, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Rich. Take care.
Same to you. Eileen Bradshaw is the CEO of Life Senior Services. If you're a senior that needs some extra help these days, or you know a senior who needs some help, call the Life Senior Services line at 918-664-9000 or visit lifeseniorservices.org. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening, and stay safe and healthy.